Hello all and welcome to the podcast, The Modern Storyteller. My name is Suryadi and it's a pleasure to have you all here today. Today I want to discuss on the next aspect of narration, which is the unreliable narrator. We have talked about first person narrator, which is seen through the eyes of the protagonist, and a third person narrator, which is seen through a bird's eye view, or basically having access to every person's or every character's thoughts and memories. But if you have read a third person narrative or a first person narrative, there is something that you find very interesting, that these stories do not give you complete access. You have access to the other person's thoughts and memories in a first person narrative as much as they show it to you. But in a third person narrative, where it's possible for you to know more, you're still limited by how much the narrator believes is important for you to know. Now here comes the question, if the narrator is deciding how much you need to know, can you really trust him entirely, or can you really trust the narrator entirely as to what they're saying? And that's the topic I want to discuss for today. A second person narrative is not that popular. It has a very different place where it works. I want to do that in a different episode, so I'm skipping that for now. So, without any further ado, let's get started. And the various reasons why an unreliable narrator is employed. Think of a story about four men and an elephant, four blind men particularly. For those who do not know the story, this is how it goes. There are four blind men who are walking on a field and they happen to cross an elephant. They realize that there is something called an elephant and they wanted to know how it looks like. Considering they are visually challenged, what they do is they decide to use their other senses and figure out what an elephant looks like. Among the four blind men, the first one goes and feels the leg. He declares the elephant is like a pillar. The second one feels the trunk and he says the elephant is not a pillar. The elephant is a snake. The third one feels the body and he says, no, it's a wall. And the fourth one touches the tail and he says, no, it's a rope. There are four people, four blind men here who have interpreted the same animal in four different ways. If you take these four people and ask them to make a story explaining how the elephant would be like, or given this limited information, if they have to make a movie on what an elephant would look like, or some sort of a trailer revealing an elephant, what do you think each of the narrative would be? See, this is an interesting thought experiment. You can think as to what each of them would narrate their story like. And maybe if you're interested, you can use this as a writing prompt as well. But getting back to the discussion, why is this difference occurring? Why is someone thinking that an elephant is like a wall? Why is someone else thinking the elephant is like a rope? See, we are the readers, the audience, are like the blind men. We do not have access to the entire truth. The elephant is the story that is in its entirety. But us being blind and we are being narrated with someone that we do not know, we are basically blind people trying to get a sense of how the elephant looks like just by using our other senses. They may do a good job, but nothing beats how to describe an elephant than you seeing it. So this is the first reason why an unreliable narrator exists. The information that the narrator has is not complete. This is a primary key feature of a first person narrative. See, the first person narrative, what is the characteristic? This person has access to their own feelings and memories, but they do not have access to others until they explicitly express them. In a first person narrative, the protagonist or the person through whose eyes we are seeing the entire story, they do not have access to what others are feeling if they don't tell him or don't tell her. And this is the reason why that narrative would be very different in someone else's head compared to the protagonist's head. The protagonist might think that whatever they are doing is entirely right, they are not offending anyone, but maybe the other people involved in that event do not think so. Imagine a very real life scenario. Imagine any event where you've been part of with more than one person. Now if everyone in that event has to recount and recollect and maybe narrate the event, do you think all the narratives would be the same? Do you think everyone will give the same set of stories, sans the dramatization that each person does? Because honestly, that is not possible. That is not possible unless everyone thinks the same, unless everyone has the same prejudices, same wiring, same sort of conditions. Or in another way, I'm saying if everyone is a clone of everyone else, it's possible that the narrative of an event is same across all of them. Otherwise, it's not. Moving on to the second reason why an unreliable narrator is employed, I want to talk about a particular way that people narrate stories. Have you ever been in an argument? Or have you seen other people who are in an argument? So let's say there are two of your friends who are in an argument, and you being the sensible person, you decide to intervene and sort of create a middle ground so that, you know, the relationship doesn't suffer. When you talk to each of them individually, what is the reason you see different and conflicting perspectives? This is the second reason why an unreliable narrator exists. There is a lot of perception and bias in reading each of the person's thoughts and feelings when an unreliable narrator or when a narrator is employed. See, one of the things that you observe in this argument is your friend 1 versus friend 2. Friend 1 says that friend 2 does A, B, C. Friend 2 says that friend 1 does A, C, D. There is a commonality, but there's also a very huge difference. What one person perceives to be good may not be what the other perceives as good. And this perception causes a lot of friction, because this perception actually defines the way the story is narrated. If let's say you are someone who believes hard work is as important as talent, and there is another narrator who believes hard work is the only thing that matters, when writing the story of an underdog rising to a very top position, do you think the narrative would be the same? One person would focus on the fact that talent played as much role as hard work, while the other would not put that much emphasis on hard work at all. Why is this case? This perception is something that is inbred from childhood through various conditioning practices. This could be a philosophy that is believed at home. This could be a philosophy that is primarily preached in the schools that they've attended. What I'm trying to say is this perception colors the story in a way that you did not know. And you will not know until you see the science of it. This is the second reason, the perception and the prejudices of the narrator themselves that cause the narrator to become unreliable. Now let's look at one of the most used examples in this podcast, Avengers Infinity War. See, when I look at Avengers Infinity War, one thing I can say is, I feel the story has been narrated in reverse. Thanos feels like the protagonist who has an objective, while Avengers are the antagonists, are the conflict in his goal. See, you can interpret it in the other way as well. Thanos not getting the stones can be one way, but I feel this version makes much more sense, at least to me, because at the end, the protagonist finishes their job, Thanos makes the snap, and then the job of the Avengers start. I feel this sort of a narrative is much more easier to comprehend, at least in those movies, considering it's a separate part. But had it been a single movie, maybe we can also argue on how Avengers are still the protagonist and Thanos winning is just something in between. But there are a lot of different other problems with Avengers, both Infinity War and Endgame. But my question here is, if Thanos is really the protagonist, why is everything Thanos does shown in a negative light? Or more to this point, let's say you take any movie, you take not just Avengers, you take any other movie, you know more about the protagonist than you know about the antagonist. And this one particular detail essentially tells you that the protagonist is better than the antagonist. Not because their ideals are good, not because they have a moral high ground or they do not do the same bad things that the antagonist does. It's because you know more about them, and when you know more about some person, you eventually have this affinity to believe that they have the upper hand. Think of Game of Thrones. Why is this prejudice shattered in Game of Thrones? And this is a very interesting technique that George R.R. Martin uses. George gives perspectives of all of the characters. If you have read the books, you'll see this. Every chapter is named after a character. And this shows what the characters are thinking, what the characters are feeling of events that happened in an earlier chapter. So let's say when a certain event happened, I don't want to use examples because that may contain spoilers. But when certain event happens and there are three main characters involved, there are three chapters at different parts in the book talking from each of the characters' perspective. This is why if you have to pick a favorite character, it's a little difficult because you know a lot about the characters and not just piece information. See, if you take Lord of the Rings, you know that Sauron is bad. Because every time Sauron is mentioned, he's mentioned in a very negative light. You know Frodo is good. Frodo is always mentioned in a good light. Bilbo is good. Bilbo is always mentioned in a good light. But that's not the case when you take Game of Thrones. Is Daenerys good or bad? For the huge amount of the series, Daenerys is shown as the underdog who survives numerous accidents, but in the end she turns out to be not different from any others. What about Cersei? She's shown to be bad throughout the series, but in the end you eventually realize that everything she's done, she's only done for her family, particularly her kids. Is being a good mother a bad thing? She aggressively protected her three kids. What about Lord Eddard Stark? Didn't he do bad things in his life? What about Robert Stark? What about Arya? What about Theon Greyjoy? All of these characters have done good and bad things. This is how real life works. We all do good and bad things. But when a narrator chooses to focus on emphasizing certain aspects and de-emphasizing the rest, you realize that a person seems way more good than they really are. This is also called the halo effect or the horn effect, based on which side you're leaning in. The effect essentially says that if you have a good impression about someone, you'll see every action of theirs in a good light, despite the action. Even though it's a bad action, you'll put a positive spin on it. This is the bias. This is a bias that the human brain has. The reason why narrators do this is to also add a little bit of dramatization into their stories. Because come on, if it's just a reporting of events, no one would ever watch a movie or read a book. So to add the dramatization, sometimes narrator tend towards one character, and this can possibly be a putting off scenario. So what are the various sorts of signals that you can figure out that the narrator is unreliable? See, one of the easiest ways to estimate this or figure out is the narrator is lying. You know, there are inconsistencies in the stories. What the narrator said once doesn't make sense now. You know, the narrator said this person likes red, and a few minutes later this person says this person hates red. See, that's an inconsistency. Things like these can be used. On the other hand, it's not just story inconsistency, it can also be a logical inconsistency. Let's say the person flies in the air, but this is not established before. See, I talk about establishing, and I talk in the context of T-5 years as well, because I've done something which I think is a very important thing when it comes to science fiction and particularly time travel related movies and books. But when you see logical inconsistencies, you can guess that this is a possible case of an unreliable narrator. The other way is the narrator is dreaming this all up, or they are just mentally ill and this is a hallucination that they are seeing. See, the thing is, in certain stories, there are signals as to why or how the narrator is unreliable, but that is not always the case. As a writer, what I believe is you need to use this to enhance your whatever it is that you are offering. See, every narrator is an unreliable narrator, but when we talk about unreliable narrator in a story perspective, we talk in the perspective that this narrator is narrating a story that is very different from what happened, and there are signals to it. And this is the one thing that I want you to work on, seeing a lot of stories and how you can add a little bit of element of deceit in it and see how you can change the story. Disclaimer: being deceitful is bad and it ruins relationships, so take the advice I'm giving and put it only for writing stories. The reason I am saying this is a deceit in a story requires a lot of effort to pull off, and a deceit in a real relationship may destroy it and you may never get it back. So given the disclaimer, I would encourage you to experiment with stories a lot. So the three reasons why narrators are unreliable: one, they do not have the entire perspective of the truth; two, they add their own perception and bias when they are narrating the story; and three, they are biased towards a few characters and they want to over-dramatize that in lieu of other characters. So before we conclude, I want to talk about my new book, T-5 Years. It's a web novel that's being posted on Wattpad, and I'm also considering posting it on certain other platforms as well. The story follows Vikram, who lands in 2015, 5 years before an apocalypse, and realizes that he has a little bit of knowledge of the future and he has sent back to save something. What it is that he has to save, Vikram has no idea. In the matter, he has to figure out what it is that he has to save and find ways to save it. Follow the story on Wattpad. The link to it is present on the Instagram page. The Instagram handle is @themorningreads. The same handle is there on Wattpad as well. Or you can alternatively Google T-5 years and you can get the story. It's a very exciting story and I hope there's a lot to take away from it. So, with that, see you in the next episode. So, that's all I have for today. I hope you have gotten enough to start writing your stories. The resources for this episode are uploaded on my Patreon page and the blog. The summary is available to all, and there is another document with additional tips. If you're interested in supporting the Modern Storyteller podcast, you can do so by either buying the additional tips document or becoming a patron to directly get access to these episodes as well as the ones that came before this by becoming a patron with less than $1 per episode. You can check out the additional benefits on my Patreon page, for which the link is down below. Have a good day writing. See you in the next episode. Surya T signing off.